in the book of Jude, we'll take these last six verses here, begin to look at it again tonight. I'll try, with the help of the Lord, to quote these verses. I might need some help. Brother Steve, you're sitting close enough, you can holler at me if I need some help. But the Bible said, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion." How do you like that, Brother Mitchell? I was about to come unglued sitting there listening to you, amen. "And of some, have compassion and making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, be glory to the only wise Savior." Excuse me. Oh, okay. "With exceeding joy" in that last verse, wasn't it? Okay, we lift that off. Let's go back and get that verse again. Amen. Let's see. "And of some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." I'll say this to the younger generation, like Brother Henry. He's about the only one I see in that generation. Amen. Memorize the Bible while you can. It's going to get more difficult on down the road. Amen. Memorize it while you can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the book of Jude. We thank you, God, that you left us a Bible. It is our instruction manual for life. Lord, I thank you that in it we find a Savior that loved us and gave himself for us. We find hope, our Lord, for tomorrow. And Lord, we find strength for today. Lord, I think tonight, as our brother talked about the homeless, Lord, how many times we just take something as simple as a home for granted. Something as simple as something to eat. God, I've been in this world almost 57 years, and I've never had to dig in a trash can looking for something to eat. I'm grateful tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that we would tonight ever be mindful of your blessings. And Lord, we know that, Lord, that you can help us to be a help to those that are much less blessed than we are. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just work and stir in our hearts. May the message tonight, Lord, help us and kindle a fire in our hearts. Lord, we don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. Help us to make a difference along the way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll give you a couple things tonight, just a little bit of review. Not going to review much at all. But we looked in the book of Jude and we saw people who are contenders in the early verses over there. Then we saw that there are people that will creep in. Certain men crept in unaware. And they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. We saw in the middle of the book of Jude there are people that corrupt themselves. And I never noticed until this time through the book of Jude, I need to go back and count them, but over and over and over and over the word ungodly is used in the book of Jude. A lot of what's going on in our country is ungodly. I thought as the man of God stood here tonight and he talked about that living in the Bible Belt, he talked about the fact that they're go with him. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There are a lot of people on the street haven't heard the Word of God. And I'm going to make another statement tonight. There's a lot of people in so-called churches that have never heard the Word of God. They've got some kind of social gospel going, some kind of tickle your ears, make you feel good, a social club, amen. And I tell you, we need the Word of God. The Bible said, "Is not thy word like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces," amen. And Jude had an understanding of that. That's why he said we need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are people that corrupt themselves in the book of Jude. There are people that are complainers in the book of Jude. We looked at that in verse number 16. They murmur, they complain, they walk after their own lusts. And I'll just say this, we got an election coming up. Listen, if you don't vote, don't complain. Amen. You have a duty as a citizen and as a Christian to vote. Amen. And here in the book of Jude, they're murmuring, they're complaining. How'd you like to have been Pastor Moses? Glory to God. I'm glad to be here at Bible Way. Amen. I'd hate to be out in the wilderness with the children of Israel like Moses was, wouldn't you? Amen. People that murmur, complain, separate themselves. Sensual, the Bible said, not having the Spirit. Now, I'll give you a couple things here tonight, finishing up these verses here. This is number 5 in the entire message. We talked about this a little bit last week, about the beloved or being a child of God and then building up as a child of God. But we're looking now at people that are under construction. I thought about when I was looking at the Bible and looking at my notes a while ago, the message that the Lord had kind of given me through the book of Jude. I thought about years ago when I lived in Baltimore. I thought about the old welding truck that I used to get in. Had a 200-amp Lincoln welder on the back of it, and gas bottle, acetylene, and oxygen, and torches, and a grinder, just basic tools to work in steel. And I thought about, Brother Steve, how many times I tried to avoid portions of the interstate, portions of the beltway, portions of Baltimore City where the road was under construction. And it seemed like if you knew it, then you could always figure out an alternate plan. I want to say this to us as the children of God. We're under construction and there is no alternate plan. God began a work in you and I the day He saved us. And thank God one day, I believe soon, He will complete that work that He started in us. The Bible said, being there, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I remember a while back I was thinking about that verse. Why till the day of Jesus Christ? He'll perform the work till the day of Jesus Christ. But in that day, He'll perfect the work. Hallelujah. We'll be just like Jesus. Amen. And I'll say this tonight. I say it kindly. I say it humbly. But if you don't want to be like Him down here, what makes you think you'd want to be like Him over there? If you don't want to worship Him down here, what makes you think you'd want to worship Him over there? If you don't enjoy God's people down here, what makes you think you'd enjoy God's people over there? Amen. And I'm glad I do enjoy God's people. And I do want to worship Him. I do want to be like Him. I disappoint myself and disappoint Him too when I make blunders in my life. Amen. Thank God for something Brother Mitchell said. He said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And I like that. Amen. If you've ever been saved by the grace of God, there's no end until Jesus comes of that getting right with Him. There are people that are under construction, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, just the last few weeks, I've used a tool that I've never used before in my life. And Brother Ralph, I'm not throwing off on you, but I got Brother John's tile saw. Now, if you're going to do construction, Now listen to me. You got to have the tools to do the job with. I mean, I could have scratched on that towel till Jesus comes with a knife, but I couldn't have cut it and broke it evenly. Amen. You understand where I'm coming from? And I told Brother John, I said, I don't know if I can handle that thing or not. He said, if Ralph can handle it, you can handle it. Amen. So there you go. I had a vote of confidence. Amen. But I'd never done any tile work, never used a tile saw. But I'm just saying this. You and I are under construction. And thank God there's no shortage of tools in our Lord's toolbox to work on you and I with. He sent the Holy Ghost down here to work on us, amen, and to work in us. He gave us the Word of God. Great was the company of those that published it, amen. I don't know about you, Brother Ralph, but I think about the choir. That's just another tool in God's toolbox, amen. The special singers, the preaching, the fellowship, the Sunday school, everything God's given us, just another tool in His box just to help us and work on us along the way. I started taking my lawnmower apart yesterday. You say, why'd you do that? Well, I went to put transmission fluid in it, and I noticed that it was running out just as fast as I was putting it in. And right there in the grass, amen. And so I had to figure out where it was running out. But see, my tool bag is up here. And so I happened to remember that I had a plug kit in the back of my truck to plug a tire, and it had a set of needle nose pliers in it. So I got pliers. I searched and I searched and I searched, and I finally found a hammer. I ended up taking the back wheels off, the little hubcaps, with a fencing tool. I couldn't even find a crowbar. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's frustrating to try to do a job without the tools that you need to do the job with. But God's not frustrated tonight. He's got the tools to do the job that needs to be done in your life and in my life. Sometimes He just sends a witness. Sometimes it's a song. Sometimes it's a message. Sometimes it's a card in the mail. Sometimes it's a text message. But thank God He's working on us, amen, along the way. By the way, it'd be a good time for me to say this. I didn't plan on it. But somebodies ought to drop Brother Gale a line. He ought to hear from somebody besides Pastor. Amen. Help me. Amen. He told me one time, he said, I ain't no good to nobody. I said, Brother Gale, that's a lie of the devil. Amen. He don't know what a blessing he is when he comes in here and sits down among God. That day will come in your life and mine too. If Jesus leaves us here long enough, I'm just saying God uses all that as tools, amen, to work in people's hearts. We're people under construction, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We talked about last week the foundation. You've got to start with the right foundation. And thank God there's no other foundation laid than that which is laid, and that's Jesus Christ, amen. Got to start on the right foundation. And then to keep things straight up and down. Cameron was out there the other day. He said, have you got a 4-foot level? I said, I do. I said, it's over in that room. He went over there, Brother Houston, and he got that level of mine. I said, don't use that. He said, why not? I said, there's one over there that looks just like it. It's accurate. Mine's not. He said, well, he said, you know what happens to these things, don't you? He said, somebody drops them 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. I said, it's God only knows how many times that level of mine's been dropped. Amen. And so I had arrows on it depicting which side was accurate and which side wasn't. No, it really wasn't accurate, but it was just making sure you checked it with the same side every time. Amen. And all I'm saying tonight is God's tools are straight up and down. God's tools. Listen, you know what's wrong in America? We've dropped the plumb line. We've dropped the level. We've dropped the hammer. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. This is what God wants to use to help His people that are under construction. We're people under construction. One of my favorite songs, I've told the church this before, is He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. And I'll say this, how loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me, working on you, working on our children, working on our home. Thank God, working on our church. Amen. Thank the Lord. He's a Lord that's working on a people that are under construction. He builds us up through faith. He builds us up through prayer. He said for us here, not only do we need to know that we're a people under construction, but the next thing I see in this portion of Scripture, we're a people of compassion. He said, preacher, what do you mean? How many believes that when a man or a woman gets saved, the love of God is shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost? I had the privilege one night. This fellow went visiting with me, and we knocked on this door, and they weren't home. We had about four leads that night. We knocked on this door, and they weren't home. We knocked on this door, and they weren't home. All this took about 35, 40 minutes. We pulled back in his driveway. He looked over at me in tears. He said, I know why there ain't nobody at home. I said, tell me why. He said, because it's me. I need to get saved. And he got saved on that night of visitation. I'll never forget it, brother. He had one of those, we call them pit bulls. Now, I don't even like the way a pit bull looks. If you've got one, God bless you. I don't want one. And I don't want to be around one because it might like something besides a chicken leg. It might like a preacher leg. Amen. That boy opened the door, and if I never move from where I'm standing, that pit bull jumped up in his lap. Now, I guess every hair on the back of my neck was standing straight up. He looked over at me in tears. He said, I love my dog. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, buddy, when you get saved by the grace of God, there'll be a love in your heart even for your dog. Amen. There'll be a love in your heart for God's people. There'll be a love in your heart for sinners. There'll be a love in your heart for the Savior. There'll be a love in your heart for the Scripture. There'll be a love in your heart for the church. I believe that. Listen, folk who get saved don't think they need the church. Listen, that's not lining up with this old book right here. God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You know, Brother Brian, I appreciate the comment about digging around us. And that's true. God's word will dig around us. It'll help us. It'll fertilize. You know, we replaced the flowers out there a little while back. And the good had been gotten out of the soil. And so you had to put some soil in there with some fertilizer in it to put some new flowers in it. And dig a hole and dig around it and water it, so that the flowers might come out pretty. Amen. God wants you and I to come out beautiful for His name's sake. But sometimes it's not just digging around that we need. We do need that. But sometimes we need to be lifted up. We need to be exhorted, exhorting one another. Someone told me this years ago. He said, God's people are sheep. He said, sheep need to be fed. I thought about that. That's true. He said, sheep need to be sheared. I said, well, that's true too. But he said, generally speaking, you shear sheep once a year. He said, preacher, you go to shearing them every Sunday. He said, it won't be long. You won't have no sheep. That's pretty good advice. I don't care what you say. God's people get out here in the world all week. The world's a beating us down. The jobs are beating us down. Society's beating us down. Amen. The news media's beating us down. Sometimes we just need to be picked up a little bit. Need to exhort one another, encourage one another. Used to, the church had a lot more, I guess, a lot of people thought they was preachers. But they'd hit the floor testifying and you'd think they was preaching. Amen. But they never called themselves preachers. They called themselves exhorters. I mean, they come in a service and they wanted to lift God up. Amen. And they wanted to lift God's people up. And they wanted to encourage the people of God, the people of compassion. The Bible said, keep yourselves in the love of God. I say this, in this little section right here, God wants us to know His love. I'll tell you how you know His love. I told my wife Sunday, I said, boy, I preached to myself Sunday morning. And she said, well, I'm sure you preach to others too. But I'll tell you how you know God's love. Number one, you got to know Him. But number two, you got to spend some time with Him. You just got to spend some time with Him. That's why Mary knew. That's why John. Think about John. Think about 1 John and all that he wrote about love. Leaning his head over on Jesus' bosom. Going with Him all the way to Calvary. All the way to the cross. If we're going to know the love of God, we've got to know the Lord. We've got to spend some time with the Lord. The Bible said, keep yourselves in the love of God. So, what one thing I glean from that statement alone is that it's not an automatic. You don't get saved and get up from getting saved and say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't have to do nothing. I'll be in the love of God the rest of my life. I'll just be immersed in God's love the rest of my life. Why did the Bible say, keep yourselves not only in the love of God, but if you go to 1 John, it says, keep yourselves from idols. See, there's some things God wants to keep ourselves in, and there's some things God wants to keep ourselves out of. Beloved, I believe a lot is blamed on the devil that needs to be blamed on the person in the mirror. Amen? Needs to be blamed on the flesh. People under construction, a people of compassion. But the Bible not only teaching us in these verses that God wants us to know His love, but God wants us to show His love. The Bible said this, it said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. I tell you, I believe with all my heart. Listen to me carefully tonight. I say this reverently. There's a lot of people been hurt deeply in this world by family feuds. There's a lot of people in this world been hurt deeply by church feuds. Am I right or am I wrong? Those that are strong in the Lord will go right on with the Lord. But I tell you, the weak will suffer every time. When there's a problem in a home, when there's a divorce, I always feel the sorriest for the children because they really had no say in what's going on. So the Bible said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Not going to say a lot about that right now. I'll get to that in just a minute. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if you're looking for Him, it'll make you want to live for Him. If you're looking for Him, it'll make you want to love like Him. It'll make you want to love others. Amen. It'll make you want to love Him. Love His Bible. Love sinners. The Bible said, if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear. I wrote two things down for these verses. Number one, know God's love. Number two, show God's love. God wants us to show it to others. To show it to others. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Let me say this tonight. There are many people in this world that are convinced that nobody cares. Our veterans are coming back without limbs. And some of them, they look like they're healthy as a horse. And they're dealing with things in their mind and in their emotions. And I believe many of them feel like nobody cares. I tell you the truth, as angry as I get, oh, I don't know if you've been watching the news lately or not, but there's a fellow that's just determined. He's a football player. I can't even remember his name. But he's determined that he's not going to stand up when they're playing the national anthem and saluting our flag. I say, find that boy a boat. We'll take up an offering and help buy the ticket. And let him go anywhere in the world he wants to go. That angers me. Brother Jim, I'd hate to be thinking about my boy being over there. coming back without an arm or without a leg or without both legs, fighting for our country. Somebody setting that flag on fire. There's somebody that wouldn't stand and salute the flag of the United States of America. I tell you what, if we're not careful, patriotism will be plumb gone. I personally believe, you might not believe it, but I believe patriotism and Christianity go hand in hand in this country. We know why America's what America is. It's because God is who God is. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to say that, but I did, and I ain't taking it back. But people of compassion, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I've seen tonight, I think that clip that I saw, if I'm not mistaken, it was an earthquake in Italy. And if I'm not mistaken, it was 17 hours that this little girl was buried under the rubble. And they showed a little clip on the news of her being fished or brought up out from beneath that rubble. And she was okay. I've heard stories, one by a state policeman, about pulling someone out of a vehicle that was on fire. And I tell you tonight, what God is saying, this is so serious. We take our construction seriously, our compassion seriously, because it may make a difference in somebody escaping the region of the damned, escaping that awful place called hell, because they would look at us and see that love that's shed abroad in our heart. You know, Jesus talked about clothes. He talked about being visited in jail. I believe he talked about food and drink. And he said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. The last thing I'll give you tonight in the message is we're a people under construction. We're a people of compassion, a people headed for a city. That first one over there was a people that are contending, that are contenders. Those four are surrounding what's going on in the middle with the ungodly crowd. But the last thing I see in this portion of Scripture tonight is we're a people that are headed for a city. I'm bound for that city, that holy wide city. Oh, yes, I am. I'm a country boy by heart. I like the country. Our neighbors are cows. Little Olivia, she says, moo. She knows how to make lots of noises. You can't have a grandbaby and not teach them what a turkey sounds like. That would be against the rules. Amen. Listen tonight. I read in the Bible, where that city, the gates will not be shut at all by day. We know there's no night there. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And the Word of God said we can go in and out. Christ Himself is the light of that city. No MRIs in glory. Brother Brian, no waiting on a test to come back. And the uncertainty itself. No cemeteries. No third floor at Wilcox Hall. How many knows what I just said? No cancer. I love the word in the song, "This is just what heaven means to me." There's a verse that says, "No unkind words to wound the heart are spoken. This is just what heaven means to me." A city where there's no misunderstanding. Won't that be wonderful? That'll be so wonderful. A people headed for a city. The Bible said here, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. There's two things that are really amazing to me in verse 24. He's able to keep us from falling, number one. But He's able to present us faultless, number two. How many realize this tonight? You've got some faults. How many realize your pastor's got some tonight? Amen. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how's he going to do that? Well, even tonight, you see, when he sees us, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He's the Word of God. He sees us. Beloved, tonight, you might not believe this, but I can show it to you in the Bible. He sees us as already glorified tonight. As already in His presence. We're a people headed for a city. Faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Then the Bible said to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You know, tonight, we may not know what's going on in the world, but just remember this. He's a wise God. Everything's right on schedule. He's not nervous tonight. Amen. Maybe somebody can help me with this, but I'm not sure that I even see America in Bible prophecy. If you see it, then you help me with that. And seems like that we've feared for years that some kind of a nuclear catastrophe would take us out. And I'm kind of thinking tonight we're being destroyed from the inside out. Just like a cancer, if you please. Just eating us. Sin is eating our lunch. Sin is eating our lunch as a nation. But God wants you and I to be lights in the midst of it all. Amen. We're a people under construction. We're a people of compassion. We're a people headed for a city. And until we get there, we ought to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints.